Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we are back with another live edition of the Before You Go Pro Locker Room. This is Coach Wood, and I am definitely excited to be back in the locker room with the team tonight. Thank you guys for attending the locker room conference tonight. Once again, I know that we all have a million things on our plate, and I never take it for granted whenever I get you guys in the locker room and can speak good things into you and get you pumped up for your football journey. So thank you guys for attending tonight's call. You know, we got so many amazing things going on, you guys, with Before You Go Pro right now. If I didn't have good people around me, my head would probably pop off. But to the team behind the scenes, thank you so much for all you guys do for Before You Go Pro on behalf of the kids and really trying to get some good information to these kids. Coach Wood doesn't do it all alone, you guys. And anyone that makes it big will realize that they got a great team behind them. So as far as tonight's conference, we are going to talk about part two of College Football Recruiting 101. And this is something that we touched upon on Tuesday. And typically we bring in a guest on Thursdays, but our guest that was slated to come in this Thursday is actually going to come in on Tuesday of next week. And it's a gentleman by the name of Lenny Walls, NFL player, great cornerback, used to play at Boston College as well, San Francisco native, had to go the junior college route. So that's a locker room show that you guys definitely are going to want to tune into. And then that's next week. And then we also have some other great people lined up for you next week too. So we're going to do a few more guest speaking arrangements come next week. And I got so many guys that are going to be accessible to us after the football season, both players and coaches, current players and coaches that are going to be accessible to the Before You Go Pro kids once this football season's over, because, you know, things are busy right now. So the reason why we had to break College Football Recruiting 101 into two different segments is because the topic is just a topic that is so huge, you guys. I mean, there's so many layers to college football recruiting, and it's such a big business that there's no possible way anybody could cover that in a 30-minute show. I'll have a tough time covering it in an hour, and we may bring back part three and four, but College Football Recruiting 101, everything you need to know and really the fine points of what it's all about. Now, there are so many kids at the high school and junior college level that are trying to play college football. You know, the game has never been more popular, and I just see year after year numbers going up as far as kids that are playing the game. Now, obviously, with some of the head injury stuff that has come about lately, you know, numbers are getting more moderate and a little bit more stagnant this past season. But if you look at the past 10 years as far as youth sports and high school sports, football dwarfs anything else out there. So as more and more kids sign up to play college football, obviously more and more kids see the opportunity to, high school football, obviously more and more kids are seeing the opportunity to play in college. And it's a huge door for many kids to get a college education. When you look at the cost of college education at $16,000 per year for state schools, like your San Jose State or your Fresno State, and then you're looking at $30,000 to $40,000 for your private institutions, your USC's, your University of Florida's. You know, these are pretty pennies that most of our parents don't have in their back pocket. So a scholarship, an athletic scholarship, always has and always will be a great choice for many kids to seize a dream of getting an education and furthering their career. And the money has never been more lucrative for the schools. I don't know if many of you guys know this, and I mentioned this on the last call, but the NCAA is a nonprofit. And when you're a nonprofit, people can give to your entity free of tax or very minimal tax. So, you know, in different corporations are willing to do business with nonprofits because they know they can write a lot of that money off. And if I'm a nonprofit, being the NCAA or school, and all I have to do is pay for a kid's education, then there's a good opportunity for me to make a lot of profit if our team is a really, really dynamite team. So what you see is a heightened focus and a heightened, competitiveness for some of the top recruits in the country, because the schools know, the coaches know that the better recruits I have, the better my team's going to be, and the more lucrative the money flowing through the university will be. Right now, ESPN is currently in contracts with the NCAA to start to carry on television next year the playoffs for college football. So right now, there's obviously the ranking system, and there's the BCS Championship Series, and you have the Rose Bowl and the Orange Bowl, and you have all that going on right now. But come next year, there's going to actually be a playoff system for Division I-A football, and this is something people have been fighting for a while. You know, let it be played on the field. Don't let the computers judge it. So next year, everybody's getting their wish. And ESPN has won the rights, lo and behold, to televise this playoff series. And they've won the rights to televise it actually for the next 12 years. The price for ESPN to televise college football playoffs starting next year is $500 million per year. $500 million per year in times where we have economic crisis, so-called. ESPN is paying for the next 12 years $500 million per year to show, quote-unquote, amateurs on television playing football. So when that type of money is being thrown around, you guys, that puts more of a premium and more of a value on your athletic talent. And for some of you guys who may really be talented, you know, and especially out of some of these hotbed states like California and Texas and Florida and Georgia has come up a lot lately. For some of the top talent in those states, the recruiting wars get very, very competitive. I mean, everything from texting kids at 3 in the morning to showing up at your school campus with balloons. You know, you hear every single recruiting story under the sun with some of these highly recruited kids. So what we have to realize is that the game is to a certain degree, and when I say the game, I'm talking about the recruiting game, has gotten to a level where it really isn't going back, you guys. You know, when I was coming out, once again, it was letters in the mail and VHS tapes. Now it's downloads and FaceTime. So the game isn't going to take a step backwards. And as young athletes, as players that want to eventually one day receive a college scholarship, you have to know what the game is about and how to play the game. And a lot of times, unfortunately, parents and kids have questions about recruiting, and they end up asking them way too late. They end up asking them And by the time they ask them or they get hit to the things they need to ask, the game, you know, the opportunity has passed them by. And maybe they have to go the prep school route or the junior college route, but the perfect yellow brick road high school journey has passed them by. And thank God I was actually in a household with a father that really, really did his background research. And he figured out what the timeline looked like for a kid that was on track to get a college scholarship. And when I say college scholarship, you guys, I'm not just talking about Division I-A football. And Division I-A football, for those of you who may not fully know, that's the guys that you see on TV every Saturday and Thursday night. Matter of fact, there's some games on tonight, and we have a Before You Go Pro playing kid playing in one of those games tonight, Aaron Criswell for UNLV. So, you know, I'm not just talking about Division I-A football. Division I-A football, if we get that opportunity, great. And I will tell you a hundredfold what that's all about. But what I'm talking about is a college opportunity. So that may mean Division II. That may mean Division III, NAIA. And there are some fabulous schools for you guys to look at that range. You know, when you look at a Cal Poly, which is a Division I AA university, that's, you know, it's not super big time. They'll play Cal. You know, they'll play a couple big time schools from here and there, but you're not going to see Cal Poly on TV every weekend. But you know what? If you walk away from Cal Poly with a bachelor's in business, you're going to be in good shape for yourself, and your life is going to be heading in a good direction, and that is a Before You Go Pro win, believe me. And if you really play good on the field, you will get an NFL opportunity from Cal Poly, which is about $36,000 probably after it's all said and done. They listed at $24,000 on the website, but believe me, that's generous. Matter of fact, I know somebody in particular that went there and paid about $32,000 to go to Cal Poly. So if they come calling or knocking on your doorstep, please do not turn them away. You know, part of the reasoning behind understanding college football recruiting is that it's a big business, and with big business, nothing is done, you guys. And please hear me, young athletes. Nothing is done until the ink is dry on the paper. So Kansas may be calling your house today, but until Kansas puts a letter of intent in front of your face or faxes it over to you and you sign on the dotted line, it's just words. So you never want to burn a bridge with a Cal Poly or maybe a SMU or a Howard University or, you know, a Memphis. You never want to burn bridges with some of the schools that you don't hear much about until, really never. There's no time to burn a bridge in the industry of football because it's a good old boy network, and the coach that you may burn a bridge with today may be the coach that you're working out in front of for an NFL shot, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road. So you never want to burn a bridge in football. But nothing's done until you know, you sign on the dotted line. So as a young football player, you're thinking, okay, I want a scholarship. How do I find a way to get in front of these college coaches? First and foremost, I always believe in having somewhat of a wish list. You know, if it's big time, okay, well, let's wish big. Let's put it on paper. And then you want to do that early. So coming out of eighth grade, going into high school, you already want to have a game plan. Now, I know some of you guys are older. Some of you guys are sophomores, juniors. Some of you guys may just be listening in on the call, and you're already in college. But you, in a perfect world, you're thinking about this already at about 13, 14 years of age. And you want to have a game plan and have somewhat of a wish list, okay, of what colleges I'm interested in, what was my parents' alma mater, what college maybe one of my teammates go to and is having success at. You know, so you want to have somewhat of a wish list of schools that you're interested in. Second, you want to basically find a way to get on the varsity team. You need to find a way to get on the varsity team because, once again, as I stated in the last call, nobody is interested at the college level in watching film of somebody that's on JV or freshman. And you have to find an angle with your coach. You know, that once you're on varsity, what is the angle to get on the field? What do I have to do to impress this coach enough to get on the field? Now, some of you guys are listening and saying, Coach Wood, I got that covered. I'm the man. I'm the superstar. I'm already on the field. They give me the ball on every play. Well, great. If you're already there, then basically, you know, some of the things that we're talking about right now are things that you tend to focus on or you make sure that are in your back pocket and you never forget them. But as we go down the list here, we may have some things that you don't have covered or some things that you didn't think about, some things that may be highly critical whether or not you get a college football scholarship. So once you're on the field, you know, and the coach is giving you an opportunity and believes in you enough to finally get you out there, it's all about being a team player and finding a way to make a play for the team. If I'm on defense, hustle is the best policy. If you hustle enough on defense, then you're going to find your way to the ball. Opportunity will come find its suitor, and it's going to go to the person that's hustling on defense. If you're on offense and you're blocking, then you got to put people on their back. If you're somebody that's actually getting the ball, then you got to make something happen when you get the ball. Because eventually what's going to happen is people are going to start to see you as a playmaker. And then you're going to have the opportunity to get the ball more or to make more plays on defense and have your name called more for defensive blitz. So find a way to get on the field. Once you get on the field, find a way to start making some plays. After that, people will start to get hip to you as far as your film. If you come from a small school and your coach isn't on film and everything as far as games and just really pumping the film out to colleges, then that's something that you may have to do yourself, you guys. Especially if you're from a small town and from a small school. Now, there's hotbed regions, as I stated before, like a California, a Florida, a Texas, where there's traditionally good football. There's traditionally good teams. And colleges will go there every single year because they know they'll be able to find top talent there. If you're in one of those areas, a Long Beach, or somewhere, you know, like Scottsdale, Arizona, if you're in one of those areas, then you just got to make plays. If you're not in one of those areas, you may very well likely have to promote yourself. And those are things that we will definitely cover with Before You Go Pro. You want to be on varsity around your sophomore or junior year. If you're on varsity as a freshman, you're a superstar, and this portion of the talk isn't for you. And me and you may have a separate conversation if you're on varsity on a good team as a freshman. But most people are going to be on varsity as a sophomore or junior. And just so you guys know, the recruiting game is in full swing, you guys, by your sophomore and junior years. Excuse me. By your sophomore and junior years, some of the more seasoned talent will by far have already heard from colleges and received offers. So if I'm a junior or senior and haven't heard anything, you know, to a certain extent it's crickets, then I'm a little bit on the late train. And that's fine, but we need to develop a late train game plan to get you to where you want to go. So for the Division I-A schools, they're very calculated with the kids that they're going after, and the top kids are hearing from Division I-A programs by their sophomore and junior years. So you've got to be on varsity by your sophomore and junior year. And now you're making plays. People are starting to get hip to your last name. Oh, yeah, I see that Dawson kid. Yeah, I see that Broussard kid, you know. Yeah, I see that Imperosa. So you got to get hit by your sophomore or junior year. Now, after your junior year, that's where the game plan kind of heightens a little bit more, where you want to have a few different things in order, you guys, after your junior year. After your junior year, you want to definitely have in your coach's mind that you want to play college football. He should know that by now. He should be fully aware that you want to play college football one day. Then, after your junior year, you should be getting all your highlight film stuff together. So get all your varsity film. Don't worry about putting any sophomore or freshman stuff on there unless you were on varsity. Get all your varsity stuff together and get a nice little download package together to start emailing to college coaches. And there's a whole way and format to go about doing that, which we'll be covering in newsletter topics and blogs and in future locker room episodes. So get all your stuff together, and then once again, you got your wish list. You start reaching out to your wish list. But then you have your realistic list too, because we always got to be realistic with ourselves. You can't be a second-string varsity guy or a guy who didn't make all-league on varsity and think that Florida State's going to be calling you next week. So we have our wish list because you never know, but also we have our realistic list. And the realistic list is usually comprised of real, real, real lower-tier teams at the Division I-A level. These are teams that are traditionally bad teams, the 2-10 teams, you know, and the 8-4 teams. I mean, the 4-8 teams. So you're traditionally bad teams, and you want to jot down a couple of them and start to look at their websites and start to look at their depth charts and their rosters and see what areas that they recruit out of and start to do kind of your background search on these different schools. And then you want to have like a 1AA D2 level and shoot for the best. Shoot for the best Division 1AA, Division 2 schools, especially if you were a varsity starter. Maybe you were all-league, or maybe you just barely missed out on some all-league honors, but you were a solid varsity starter, you know. So you're going to have your wish list. You're going to have your bottom-of-the-barrel 1A list, maybe a SMU, or maybe somebody like a Washington State or something like that. Then you're going to want to have your 1AA list, your Sacramento States, Norfolks, and different people like that. And then you're going to have Division II. And you're going to start emailing these coaches and emailing these recruiting coordinators and getting your name out there and letting them know that you're interested in their university and that you would be a great asset for their university. Now, once again, if you're a junior or senior, we may be a little bit on the late train. One kid in particular that I just talked to recently, he's already a senior, already finished senior year. We got to get on it, like yesterday. So there's a whole timeline to everything. If you have just finished your junior year, you're also going to want to consider going to some camps. You know, the game is played with rankings nowadays, so kids are ranked. If you're a quarterback, you want to eventually be in the top 50 or top 100 ranked quarterbacks. Well, okay, Coach Wood, what do I have to do to be ranked? I'm already a varsity starter. I've already gained league honors. What do I have to do to be ranked? you may have to very well go to some of these quarterback camps, like the Steve Clarkson camp or some of the 7-on-7 stuff, you know, the Nike Combine, to start to get some awareness out there about you, to start to get you in front of other big-name recruits that are garnering a lot of respect where you can compete. So the game is very different, you guys, than when I came out of high school back in 1997. When I came back out of high school back in 1997, they had just started the Nike camps. And I didn't even go to any camps, but was fortunate enough to have, you know, about 10 different Division I-A scholarships. But in today's world, you almost have to look at the camps to be ranked. And the colleges, I'm not going to kid with you guys, the colleges do pay a lot of attention to a player's ranking. If I call up the University of Arizona and say that, hey, this wide receiver that's a before-you-go-pro kid is ranked as the 12th wide receiver in the country, believe me, I'm getting a call back ASAP. So rankings are important. You know, not to say that they're right, but you do have to look at them because they're relative. So some of the camps are some of the things that you guys can look at. Colleges have individual camps, and one particular player was asking me about that, so we're going to start looking into that stuff too. And I've got a bunch of contacts with guys who run camps. So all of that goes into the recruiting funnel, into the recruiting mix. We're going to close out tonight with a quick story on how I went through my recruiting journey and how you guys can find out what schools think about you by how they recruit you. So at the time I was coming up at Reardon High School, I was a junior at Reardon and had just finished my season, and right away the University of Virginia had taken a liking to me. And that's a school, I'm in San Francisco, they're in Virginia, they're on the East Coast, that is thousands upon thousands of miles away. But that didn't matter anything to Virginia. They were calling me, they even flew all the way out from the East Coast just to have lunch with me at Reardon High School in San Francisco one day. Now, they told me that, hey, if you have a great senior year, we're going to give you a scholarship. So keep up the good work in school and keep everything going, and we're keeping an eye on you. So they were showing me good stuff young. I'm 16 years old, 17 years old at the time. Then it comes your senior year when there's certain times that schools can't contact recruits. Well, at the time that schools could contact recruits, which is the first week in August, my senior year, the University of Virginia was the first school to call. No other school actually called me that day. School started calling me the second day, but no other school called me the very first day but the University of Virginia. And obviously I took that into account, but not as much as I should have. To make a long story short, I ended up going to Colorado, but Colorado didn't recruit me until midway my senior year. If you look at the signs, and this is all in the book that you guys will receive soon, I should have went at the University of Virginia. Schools will show you how much they adore you. So maybe a 1A school like Cal is calling you, but maybe a 1AA school like Northern Arizona is coming to eat lunch with you every day after school. You may want to consider Northern Arizona because that may be the school that you flourish at. So we'll be talking about recruiting more, you guys. We have launched a brand new website, and please check into that at www.beforeyougopro.com. We're letting in more kids. We're getting kids from all over the country. Please tell your friends about Before You Go Pro, and we really want to put our arm around you guys and support you guys. Before You Go Pro, we'll be at the Little League Super Bowl this Saturday in down by San Luis Obispo and Paso Robles, and with a lot of young kids there. So we got a bunch of great stuff coming out. We got the book coming out soon. We've got some hot guests this week. So tune in to what we got. Hopefully you guys got something great out of last night. and we will definitely see you at the top. We love you. Talk to you later.